right. Well, before we get going, I think Leandra, is this the first time for her? Look at her. Look at this entrance. What'd you say you call her? She-Hulk? The She-Hulk. Oh, that's nice. Leandra, you want to tell everybody her real name? Like, again, Annalise. That's right. She's a big girl from the beginning. Awesome. So, all right. Well, a little over a month ago, you know, my family was on a trip out west, and we were traveling out to different locations that were national parks all around. And so the one place that we went to was Glacier National Park. And so, Stutz, go ahead. You can start those pictures. And there we are. We made it out to northwest Montana, and it is just a beautiful place, a gorgeous place. This is Kristen's favorite place. And she even got a T-shirt or a sweatshirt there, so she can just remind herself of it all the time. But such a gorgeous place, the mountains, the deep, the valleys that are created by that, and the opportunities to hike, the breathtaking views, wide open spaces. It was just amazing. And so while we were there and we were in that place, one of the most beautiful places on the earth, the reality is that while we can be in those kind of places on the outside, on the inside, we were in one of the hardest places as a family going through this season. And it was in that moment that God spoke to me, and we can keep that last picture up, was what we like to have, that one right there. And it was there on this hike, on this probably one of the more popular hikes that there are at Glacier. It's up at the top of this place called Logan's Pass, and this trail heads out, and it to this lake that's called Hidden Lake. And as we were hiking out there, it was there that God just spoke into my life in a way. Like, I was sitting up here and I didn't even know my parents were going to be here, but I'm sitting here and we're singing, and I can just, like, my dad's here. And like Mike is saying, like, he got some loud voice from his dad. I did not get it. Like, my dad has it. So, but I, you know, you just know your parents' voice, you know your father's voice, and there I was sitting, I could hear it, and just like I was on this, out there on this trail with the family, and in that place, a hard place, emotionally painful, and all of that, God spoke into my life in a way that I just knew it was him, and it came through that shirt that Sarah is wearing, and if you can see it, I don't know if you can read what it says. Does anybody know what team that's for? Sixers, that's right. And so it says, trust the process. And if you don't know what the Sixers are all about and who the process is or what the process is, I'm not going to get into that. But what I'm going to talk about is that God was saying to me, Derek, you got to trust the process that I'm taking you on here right now, that you might not like it, might not even understand why and where you're at right now. You got to know that I'm working. And I'm working in the midst of it. And you got to know that I'm working for the good of those who love me. And so this morning, I don't know what you're going through, but you got to know and trust the process of what he's taken you through right now in your life. You might be here and the circumstances and your situation is anything but what you wish it was. It might be the furthest thing from it. But you got to know that he's working. Maybe you're at a point where you're like, man, that grass is really a lot greener over there, and I wish I was there. But the truth is that in reality, for every single one of us, everything can change in just a moment. And so we have to be careful to not let our circumstances be what dictate our joy and where our joy lies and rests. Earlier this week, I heard this statement made by Ben Stewart. He's a pastor and author, and he said, what you need most in life is not a change in circumstances. We as humans are capable of messing up even the most ideal of circumstances. What we truly need most in life is the ability to flourish regardless of our circumstances. And I like that, because here's the deal. Our circumstances, they can change in a moment. Earlier this week, Doug, he went in for a surgery. He thought things were going to come out and he was going to be back at things in just a few days. And now it's going to be a lot longer. In just a moment, everything changed. In a moment, you know, things changed in my life earlier this summer. In a moment, you know, you get sick. In a moment, something doesn't go the way we want and our circumstances change. But our joy can't be found in those situations and in those circumstances. They can only be found in Christ alone. And so know that he has taken you through a process, that you can trust the Lord in that. He may be refining us. He might be softening us where we are hard and we need to be softened. He may be chiseling away and smoothing off some of the rough edges that there are in our lives. He might be working out some kind of pride. Maybe there's greed. Maybe there's an arrogance. Maybe there is a complacency. Maybe there is something that needs to change, and he's coming in, and he's going to do whatever he needs to do to work it. And maybe even those things that places that we find ourselves aren't even places that we put ourselves in, or maybe we had a part in doing it, and it wasn't the way or something that God wanted to see happen. But now on this side of it, he's going to take it, and he's going to work it, and he's going to work a process. And so can we trust the process that he is taking us on? He's working in us with a purpose, and he has a vision and a goal for what he's shooting for, and that is for us to become more like Jesus in our lives. And so you can take that picture off now. We can stop thinking about the Sixers. And so this morning, I want to ask you to consider two things. Where are you at in the process of becoming more like Jesus? Where are you at in the process of growing in your maturity in Christ? And secondly, what next steps can you take right now to grow in your relationship with him? And here's why this is so important. It is so important because the process that you're being taken through, the steps that you're taking in your walk with Jesus, are the most important steps that you can take, because the steps that you take with him determine the next steps that you're going to take and your view of everything else. Just look at what it meant for every single person that Jesus called to follow in his footsteps. He told some of them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And in a moment, their lives went from being about catching fish to going and being about people. In one moment, there was a guy sitting at a tax booth, and the next moment, he's leaving it behind. Another place Jesus said this, he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And so following after Jesus, it means that we're going to deny ourselves. It's not about living for ourselves, but it's about living for him and for his glory. And Jesus said one thing, he said this to a guy, he said, "One thing you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." And so following Jesus and taking steps and growing in likeness to him means that it's going to affect our view of wealth. It's going to affect our view of things in this life. And he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And so following after Jesus impacts our lives on an individual basis. It impacts our views and convictions in regards to money, resources, relationship, work, everything, even the hard things in life such as suffering, sickness, pain, and loss. All of it affects us. And it helps us take steps towards becoming more like Jesus and the people that God desires us to be. And so that's how big these steps are. And as a church, our mission is to help people find and follow after Jesus. It is everything. Jesus is everything to us. He is everything we need. And following Jesus demands everything of us. And so last week, we started out this 3-week journey that we're going to take real quickly over this month, just to come around and recap what it is that we believe are the important steps that we can take as a church in growing and helping people find and follow Jesus. And so last week, in your bulletin, that insert, it lays it all out, what these three steps are. We've gone through it before a few years ago, but here it is again, just to put it in front of you, because where are you in that process of becoming more like Jesus, of growing and finding and following after Jesus? And so last week we talked about that this is a place. It's a place to belong. And that's our prayer, that you would find as part of your journey in following after Jesus, a place to belong and be and to connect with, not only with God, but with other people. And so today we want to come around the second step that there is, and that is of I'm growing. But before we talk about that, I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to spend time in the first five verses and just come around this as a way to encourage us from what Paul has to write, has written to the church in Colossae. So if you have your Bibles, Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And so let's stand for the reading of God's word. Paul is here, and he's sharing his heart for these people who are dealing with some false teaching that's taking place among them. And so in verse 1, he says this of chapter 2, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." Our Father in heaven, we come to you now and we thank you for your word. We thank you for what a gift it has been already to meet together, to gather together in this place, and to worship you, to be reminded of your grace and your mercy, of how you are constantly just coming alongside us and meeting our needs and sustaining us as is best. And so, Lord, now I just pray that you would speak to our hearts, as you know exactly what we need to hear, and your voice is what we need to hear most. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So what is Paul right here? As we're looking at this, this is Paul's prayer. He's praying for these folks that he is writing to. It says that he's struggling for them, and by most everyone, everyone is agreeing that that's what he's doing here. He means that he's praying for them. He's interceding for them, and he's driven for them not because he knows them personally. From the first chapter here in Colossians, we're told that he has only heard of them, not that he has met them personally, and so he's praying for them. What he knows about them and what he has heard about them is that these folks that they are striving for the Lord and pursuing him and following after him with obedience. And here he is hearing about what is going on, and he's heard that there is some false teaching that is coming in. And what a challenging thought, isn't it? It's one thing to pray for people that you know, that you hold dear, that are close to you, that are in your life, but here he doesn't even know these folks, and he is struggling, he is praying hard for them, and that they would stay faithful to the Lord. And what a challenging thought is to encourage us even in how we pray for folks and who we pray for. Yesterday, as we were just watching a little clip that I was sharing with those who were at the simulcast about who the Rejang were in Indonesia, and who are going to who our church has partnered with through these years just to support the work of, and seeing the gospel go to these folks, and seeing these pictures of all these folks, and it's a Muslim majority country by far, and there they were, and just knowing about those that we are partnering with and the few Christians that there are amongst the Rejang, just how are we praying for them? And just an encouragement, here Paul is, and he is struggling on behalf of the Christians there and just praying for them, and he doesn't even know them. And what an encouragement to us to pray for our partners and our brothers and sisters there and around the world who are facing persecution of all various kinds, and just lifting them up in prayer because of a love for our brothers and sisters. And that's what Paul is doing here. He has such a love for this church. And in verse 2, he starts to lay it out, and he explains what it is that he's praying and how he is praying. So what's his prayer? Verse 2. He goes on, and there's three things that I want to point out here. He prays this, that their hearts might be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the fullness, all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. Here's what he's praying for. The first thing I want us to see is that he's praying that their hearts would be encouraged. This false teaching that they're dealing with that is taking place in the church is saying that, yeah, Jesus is good, that's nice, that there he is, he died on the cross and all of that. But he's not enough. There are these other things that you need to do in addition to that, that you need to believe and do. In essence, it's a teaching that is saying that what Jesus did on the cross is lacking. And whenever you hear that, if you're not very confident and you're not firm in your faith, what can happen in one's heart whenever you're told that, hey, it's not enough? You might become discouraged. You might begin to lose heart. The other week, Christopher's going through a master's program and getting ready to bring that to a close. I just thought this is coming around this. And I think, yeah, just a few weeks ago, you're telling me you have one class to go and you are all done. And that's exciting stuff when you're a student trying to finish a program. Only to find out, like a week or so or two ago, he is short one credit. It's like, oh, you know, I just hear that. It's like so discouraging for him. But he's going to finish it. It's going to be fine. It's going to come. But here, it's like that, you know. You think that you've got it all. This is it. You know, I'm resting my life and my faith and everything that I am on Jesus, than what he has accomplished at the cross, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And someone else is coming in and saying, that's nice, but there's still a little bit more to go. I mean, it can be a discouraging thing. It can be the kind of thing that causes a lot of doubt and things, well, if that's not true, and this is what I believe about, then this and this and this, and a lot of things can begin to fall apart. And Paul, he's writing to them, and he wants them to be encouraged. He wants them to be strengthened and fortified against this. He wants them to continue to trust in Christ and know that he is sufficient. But not only is his prayer for them that they would be encouraged, but also that they would reach the riches of full assurance of understanding. He wants them to find assurance. You know, if you're wrestling with the false teaching that is saying this stuff, what might you do? You might begin to doubt. You wonder if the news is true. Is Jesus really enough? Is what I was taught about the goodness of Jesus Christ, is it true? And if he's not enough, is the good news that he even forgives, that he rescues me? Can I even believe that? Is that true? And then if that's not true, then it really is this good news at all. And then why would I even care to live my life for him? And that's why this is such a big deal. And Paul's praying for them to be encouraged that they might reach the fullness, reach all the riches of full assurance, which deals with the seeds of doubt and unbelief that can start to work their way in there. And the last part that I want you to see is not only is he praying that they would be encouraged, not only does he pray that they would have full assurance, but that they would reach all the riches of the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He wants them to be encouraged and built up in the face of false teaching. He wants them to find assurance of faith in Christ, which deals with the waves of disbelief. But lastly, he wants them to know Jesus. He wants to know him and the fullness of him, all the riches that there are in knowing and seeing Christ. He wants them to see all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He wants them to see that Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, life has meaning. In Christ, we find purpose and direction for living life. In Christ, we have a clear picture of who God is and his love for us, that he is fully sufficient and lacking in nothing. Because it's in Jesus that we see God's love, we see God's justice, we see God's mercy, we see God's grace, and God's heart and his love for his people. And so Paul's wanting them to know the beauty of Christ and Christ alone, and he's praying all of these things, and we hear that, and that's wonderful, that's really nice, Paul. Thanks for praying for us in this way. But that's not all that he communicates. And I just want us to hear, as he's praying this and he's writing this to this church in Colossae, he's writing this and he's praying this for us also. I love this. How does this happen? How does he pray that they're going to be encouraged? How does he pray that they're going to find assurance in the face of fears and doubts? How does he pray that they're going to grow and become more mature in Christ? What's that process? How does this happen? And so let's go back and read verse 2 and 3. Do you see how this happens? How he's praying this happens? That their hearts might be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance and knowledge of God's mystery. How does it happen? Do you see? He says, by being knit together in love. being knit together in love and mutual support. He prays, how is it that they're to be built up in their faith? By being knit together in love. How does he pray that they're going to have a confident assurance in the face of doubts, fears, and unbelief, in the midst of whatever the hardest things that are going to come into our lives? By being knit together in love. How does Paul pray that they're going to come to a deeper knowledge of Jesus? By being knit together in love. It's by being knit together in love that Paul prays all of this is going to take place in them. A few verses earlier, he's saying, I want you to become, I want you to grow in maturity in Christ. And in these verses that are following, he's helping us see his view on how that best happens, and it happens in authentic biblical community by a people who are knit together in loving commitment to one another. That's how you stand firm in the face of opposition, in the face of whatever it is that the enemy is going to do to try to come in and tear apart and to cause your faith to waver. He's saying stick together and be knit together in love. Don't miss what he's saying. He's saying it's not in isolation from other believers that our hearts are encouraged. He's not saying that. He's saying it is in commitment, committed covenant community with other believers that our hearts are encouraged. He's saying it's not in isolation from other believers, but in committed covenant community with other believers that we gain full assurance of understanding. He's saying it's not in isolation from other believers that we get to know the riches of Christ, but it is in committed covenant community with other believers. That's how we really get to grow deeper. That's the process in understanding and knowing Christ. He goes on to close these verses, close this section out, verse 4 and 5. He says this, I say this, why? So that no one might delude you with plausible arguments. He's saying, I want you to grow strong in community. I want you to grow and be knit together in your love for one another. Because I want you to stand firm against those teachers who might sound good, but who are telling you a lie that Jesus isn't who you need, that he isn't all that great, that he isn't enough. Maybe that's the lie that's being told here, but maybe there's some other lies that are coming in that we could say the same thing, that the enemy just wants to bring and speak into our lives about who we are, about what God wants to do, about what he has done, about how he's working, and all of those things. And we need those people in our lives to speak in and to help us continue to keep on trusting and knowing the goodness of God. Last week I told you, I don't know when it was, a few weeks ago I told you about these few guys that I exercise with on Tuesday and Thursday mornings, and there's this one character in there. He is, I think he's close to 80 years old, maybe 70-something, but it's this short little African-American guy. I can say that because I'm taller than him. And he's even shorter. And there he is. And I'm amazed that this guy does these workouts like he does, because he's that old and the rest of us are like half his age. And he's in there and we have the list on the wall. And if we just happen to accidentally forget where we're at on the list, he calls us on it. He's like, what are you doing? You're skipping this. And this past week was so good because the guy, he messed up. And I mean, he doesn't even like how I do the exercise. He picks on me all the time. And says, you're not doing it right. You're not trying hard enough. And I'm like, doing it. Stop. But his name is James Austin. There, I said it out loud. But this guy, he is a character. He's a lot of fun. But we need people like that. That if we're missing something, you're going to come alongside us and say, hey, what's going on? And speak into our lives like that and to encourage us on. And he closes this out, verse 5, and I am so grateful for what I hear about your walk in the Lord and your faith. Just encouraging and building them up. In the midst of all this, here's how I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you know Jesus more. I don't want you to lose heart. I want you to stay faithful. And this is what I am so grateful for you. Just an encouraging heart, a loving heart from Paul as he's writing this to these dear friends that he hasn't even met face to face. And so do you hear the emphasis here that Paul's putting on the importance of biblical community? as a place where the process of becoming and growing in Christ happens. Guys, trust the process that God has for you. And his process is for you to get plugged in and to be engaged in committed covenant community with other believers. My mother-in-law, she's really into knitting, sewing, quilting, making blankets, all that kind of stuff. And so Anna, whenever she graduated, she brought this blanket that she made. And it's really nice because it's really heavy. Somehow it got on our bed the other week. And so we've had it. It's so heavy. I was like, woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, I can't move. This thing, I'm like, what is on us? I only found out that Kristen like piled it all on me because she was hot. And I was like, well, no wonder. It was triple heavy kind of thing. But she made this. And to make a blanket like this, I guess, I don't know, is this called a quilt because it's got squares? Okay. So, I mean, she had to think about this. She had had a vision for what she wanted to make and put together. She had to figure out, you know, what material do I want to use to make it? How am I going to, what stitching am I going to use? I don't know. And for some reason, she didn't cut these things off. But it's part of the look she wanted. She needed to know what kind of look. She needed to know where she's going to put it. Like, she's going to use denim, you know, some places. You know, how big was it going to be? You know, how much time was it going to take for her to put it together? She had to have this idea that she's just thinking through, what am I shooting for? What's the process that I'm going to go through to get there? And here, what is, he talks about being knit together. And that's what she, you know, in these little spots here, wherever they're stitching, you know, it is, maybe the word isn't knit, it's stitched, but it's going to work for me here. So the idea is that it's put together. And what affects in one spot, it's going to be there, but it's held together tightly. And that's what Paul is saying. He's like, I want you guys to be like that, to be knit together as a people, because that's how you're going to grow. That's the process that I have for you. That's a key part of it. And so the question I have for us is like, you know, are you being knit together? Or it's so easy for us in this culture that we live in, we're all doing our own things. We want community, but we don't want to be committed. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing of how God wants to work in our lives. Are we knit together in love? Are you being knit together in love? Because as you do, that's God's works through that. Sam Storms writes this in his devotional entitled Hope of Glory. He says, there is a strange and elusive spiritual dynamic at work when Christian men and women corporately and in loving covenant relationship one with another, commit themselves to the pursuit of knowledge of God. The insights we gain from one another, the mutual accountability, the collective wisdom that is generated in the context of the local church, all serve to enhance our growth in godliness and understanding in a way that can never be fully attained when we venture out on our own. And so do you want to become mature or grow in Christ? If so, Paul's saying here's an essential step towards that. Commit yourself like two threads that are knit together in love to other believers. Because in that kind of covenant community with one another, you find encouragement, you find assurance in Christ, and you come to know the beauty of Christ and all the treasures that are found in him. And so that's the goal for us as a church. We want to help people find and follow after Jesus. And there's three steps laid out before you that we want to encourage you to engage in and plug into. And this week, as we're talking about growing, I mean, here's some simple action steps that I'd love to encourage you to take. You know, spend time in God's Word daily, individually, not individually. Spend time in God's Word with others. Pray daily. Pray corporately. Join a small group for community, care, and spiritual growth. If you're not plugged into a small group, now's a great time to get plugged in. Back there, that next week is when we're hoping to get them going. Maybe it's coming out to Sunday school class Every Sunday, 9 o'clock, we got some classes, join in. We got one for young adults. We got some for senior adults. We got those for in the middle. Just come on out. Gather together with others in corporate worship as a church faithfully. I love just seeing stories of it. And I grabbed some pictures down from Facebook. I saw our one small group went out and served at the Lebanon Rescue Mission. You know, it's just a place. It's a place to belong, and it's a place to become and go, and a place to be a blessing. And so there's a little circle of some individuals who said, yeah, I'm going to commit to one another, and we're going to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And so that's just an example of that. You want to grow, don't do it alone. We need each other. And so commit to one another in love, and you're going to get to grow in Christ all the more. So some questions I want to ask you to consider. What difference would it make in your life to take the step of saying, I'm growing, as listed there? I think it would make huge ones, but you got to consider that. And maybe you've already taken the step and said, I'm growing. What difference has that step? I just want you to reflect on that. As you've spent time in God's Word daily and corporately and with others, as you've gone and you've plugged into maybe a group or you've participated in a Sunday school class, just reflect on that. What difference has that made in your life? And when you pause and consider your current walk with Christ, would you say that you are taking steps towards the kind of faith that the Colossians have, which he describes as being in good order and standing firm? Can that describe? Would that describe where you're at? And so today, I just want to encourage you, and I pray that you find this is a place to become more like Jesus in the midst of whatever it is that life may bring. Maybe it's something in some relationship. Maybe it's in a friendship. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's even here. But how are you being encouraged? And what's God want to do in your life? Trust the process of what he's doing. He is good, he is faithful, and he will always be working for the good. And you can trust him. And so let's bow our heads as we bring our time to a close. Let's just consider, what is it that the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. What an encouragement it is to us this morning. Just to hear Paul's heart, which is really your heart for us, Lord, to know you more. And for us to know the joy of having brothers and sisters coming alongside us in our life, to encourage us, to build us up in our faith, and to know that no matter what it is that's going on in our life, that you are enough, and that you are everything, that you are the one who sustains, that you are the one who carries us through the hardest of times, and that in the midst of it, Lord, that you are working and that there is a process that you are taking us through. So, Lord, help us to trust you. And help us not to see what has been laid out here as just a nice suggestion, but as something that, God, we want to trust what you are calling us to really plug in and to invest in and to care and support and love others. One thing we know is that this journey is long and this journey is hard, and that we can't do it alone, and you've already said you don't need to do it alone. So Lord, we thank you We thank you for all the ways that we have experienced this already. Thank you for the gift of your church. Thank you for the gift of your Son, most importantly, and the hope that we can have, the joy that we can have. And so whenever the road gets tough and rough, and we might even want to get a little bit cynical, help us to believe. Help us to have hope. God, we need you, and would you come and would you fill us? In your name we pray.